Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge, and I'm glad to have you with us this morning. We're also very pleased to welcome back to the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and generally speaking, when he's not gallivanting off around the country.
And I did.
And he has been. He's here the first Wednesday of every month, and we talk about cooking, and we always have a good time. We've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about particular kinds of dishes and encouraged you to call in and tell us about your variation on it. You know, how is it that your recipe for something maybe is different than your friends or your neighbors or somebody else in your family? We've talked about different styles of cooking from different countries and from different places in this country, and always had a good time. So he selects the topic, and he selected one that is very seasonal and sort of traditional kind of thing to be talking about in the summertime, particularly now that we're kind of getting into the late summer. We're starting August here. Tomatoes is the subject. And we'll be talking about various things that you can do. Maybe you have a good recipe that you'd like to share with us. And maybe it's something that's, a little bit different. I mean, you can obviously just slice them and eat them in various sorts of ways. And you can make sauces out of them. And there are things that seem to just go with tomatoes like they were made to go together. But maybe there's something a little bit different or unusual. Whatever you'd like to do, you are certainly welcome to call in here this morning. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. We'd also like you to know, by the way, Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge. Oh, I think we did this already. Well, we'll do it again. A Gourmet Foods, Cards and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Seymour Art Gallery, Vintage Street Mercantile, Vintage Vogue Florals, Samantha's Treasures, and Audiovisual Innovations. They're all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. Hey, I'm glad to have you back here. It's been
Is this the first Wednesday, it's the first day.
That is right. We are two-thirds of the way through climatological summer, and I'm glad because I got no use for this kind of weather.
Well, it is a little warm.
It's a little warm.
Well, I haven't been here for 3 months. I missed two times, but it's been 3 months since I have seen you.
And I know you've been out spending time in the West.
I have been in the West, the far West, the Middle West, a little bit North, and a little bit South. So I've been lots of places. And I picked up more recipes. And the reason I brought one today, I have been hunting for it for a long time, or I have known about it, or I hear it in the background about a Tuscan dish that uses tomatoes. And I had always heard it called a Tuscan soup, but it really isn't a soup. It's something else. Well, I had it in California, and Oh, boy. So I come running home and hunting through my books. I had the recipe, but then I wanted to find another source to see how much the person had varied from a written source. And I found exactly what we'd had. It's called panzanella. Have you ever had panzanella?
No, I don't believe I have.
The word does come. It's Italian and Tuscan, and I had always heard it called peasant bread soup, but it really isn't a soup. And the thing that's about this is that it uses up old bread, so that it isn't a waste. And the peasant farmer would have a container of this mixture to take out for lunch, whatever it would be. And it used stale, day-old or older bread, and it would be soaked in water, and then the water squeezed out. But Marcella Hazen doesn't like that. She thinks it's a little too crude, that some of the breads you have don't respond too well to soaking in water. It has to be the real tough bread to soak it in water and still have any body after you squeeze the water out. So her suggestion, she says, no matter how fussy this seems, her suggestion is to make large cubes. She would fry them, but then, strangely enough, I saw this on Food Channel in between the time I learned it and now. And I believe it was Oh, who's cooking live?
Sarah Moulton.
Sarah Moulton. Sarah, I believe, cooked this or something like it, making croutons, and made them real big, covered them with oil, popped them into the oven for 10 minutes. And that seems to be a nice way to do this. But what it is, and then this is what makes me laugh, all that it is a sauce that you have made from half a clove of garlic and four fillets of anchovies, a tablespoon of capers, a teaspoon of salt, and then five tablespoons of olive oil and one tablespoon of red wine vinegar. Now, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of juice, but that is the mixture, which is really a kind of a spicy vinaigrette. And that's put over, you get a red pepper and a yellow pepper, maybe a couple of colors, and then the fried bread squares and ground pepper and a half of a cucumber peeled and diced, and then tomatoes cut into half-inch chunks. And this I do find very necessary. I've changed my whole way of dealing with onions, a half of a red Bermuda onion. You cannot make this without a red Bermuda onion. I'm sorry. I am the kind that says, oh, good, there's some for $1.27, and I buy the whole bag and use them until they're done. Ooh, a red Bermuda onion in this. And you just simply mix all of that together and let it sit. It has to sit, and it has to soak up into the bread and to the other materials and let them sit for a while. Well, what made me laugh the most, now I'm getting down to the point of my story, I tasted this, and it was absolutely delicious. And then I started laughing because I have been making for a long time the Greek version of horotiki, which is the village salad, which is made up of onions and cucumbers and tomatoes and a kind of a light vinaigrette. Of course, with that you add olives and oregano and feta cheese. But that's the village salad. And then you sop bread in it. There's a lot of liquid, and you sop bread in it, and you're eating that. So you have to have lots of bread. Well, they're both kind of the same, and they both come from just about the same latitude. So it's very similar, but panzanella is what a treat. What a treat. So I was very, very pleased that I was a guest at the house, and we were out in the country, and they brought out bags of these things. They'd already prepared them and dumped them all together, and then we sat and sort of looked at it and waited for it to sort of go together. Well, that's panzanella.
All right. Well, if you have a good tomato recipe or something else to say about tomatoes, or, you know, it could be anything, you just want to call in and say hi. The man is here. We call him our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. It's our regular monthly program on cooking, which we actually haven't done because, well, he's had better stuff to do.
I'm out learning about panzanella.
He's been out, you know, about eating good stuff and traveling around the country. But he's here, and your questions, comments, calls are welcome. 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. First caller here, Aurora, on our toll-free line, number 4.
Yeah, hi. I can't believe you're talking about one of my favorite new recipes.
Oh, it's a new recipe to you, too?
It's new to me, but I have this 94 Good Housekeeping book that has super salads in it.
Yes.
And I thought, this sounds so nice, and I can use up my bread.
Yes.
But I toasted mine.
But that will work.
Yeah, and I left it in large pieces. The family loved it. What I liked was the juices that were left over, and you could put your bread in it.
That's what I enjoyed about it. But all of those flavors, do you put the anchovies in it?
No.
Anchovies and capers seem to make an awful lot of difference to this because it gets just a little bit richer. And,
well, I could see that it would be,
yeah.
But I don't know if my family would go for that.
Oh, give them a try.
I would, but...
Well?
You know, you're in the Midwest.
You can buy anchovies.
I've bought them
since I was little. I know they aren't the good ones that are salted and et cetera, but they certainly do work for this. I like them.
Oh, it's just a delightful recipe. And what I did this summer was I put in four different kinds of tomatoes.
Oh.
And one of the ones we put in was a new one to us, 4th of July, and you're supposed to have tomatoes by the 4th of July.
If you're lucky.
Well, we had it the week after. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
And we have all kind of tomatoes ripening, but what I wanted to make was salsa. And what does salsa mean?
Sauce. It just, in essence, is sauce.
It means a sauce.
Yes, salsa, sauce.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I have about four different recipes, and I was going to go over them and just decide to make a couple and see which ones I like, but I
think what you have to think, I believe, in making a decision about texture, because you can get one that is very dry and large and chunky, so that it doesn't seem to have too much liquid to it. Uh-huh. And that's one kind. And then another kind is the kind you just zip up in the Cuisinart or blender, and it is very, very soupy. And they all have pretty much the same thing. For a long, 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 long time, we have only dealt with tomato salsas that would be sort of used on chip and dip and things that are sort of party-like, instead of using them to dress certain foods or put a little nap on some foods. But of recent, there have been an awful lot of recipes about fruit salsas and other vegetable salsas and all kinds of things like that, which really gets down. You start investigating, you'll find out that somewhere in all the secret recipes, there's someone who's making a special sauce out of vegetables. I know one of my favorites is the salsa verde, the Italian sauce that is.
Oh, thank you for mentioning the name.
Yes, salsa verde. However, salsa verde is what you buy in a can in the Mexican food area. So it's the same thing. But Frugal Gourmet, the one dealing with Italian cooking, and find out this, because that's the recipe that I use, and he uses it on boiled meats, combinations of boiled meats. So here's a nice fragrant a green sauce, but he calls it salsa verde. But that's another, and we're talking about tomatoes right now.
And I put in Cubanella peppers this year.
I don't know what they are.
Well, they're supposed to be very, very sweet. People raved and raved about them when I mentioned the name. And they are bearing. I put in four different kind of peppers.
Yes.
To get the colors I want, yellow
yes.
and green.
Oh, that would be nice.
And to get more texture. And I have about three Cubanellas coming on. But I don't know how big they're supposed to be. I don't know when to pick them. They're about 5 inches long.
What color are they?
Green, light green.
Light green. Probably if they turn to a yellow, and if the skins begin to sort of dry up, that's a little bit too far. I doubt if they would turn red. My guess is they wouldn't if they're a light green.
I didn't think I'd have this problem of when to pick them. And I had never heard of them, but the people just raved and raved about these, so I put in six plants of that.
Great. Well, as long as they are fresh and solid, firm rather, mm-hmm. and not wrinkly or beginning to wither, I would say you've probably got them at a time when they will taste pretty good.
So the other thing I was going to do, too, is try to make some Slovak salsa. Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, what would you put in it?
Well, that's what I have to investigate. I'll let you know the next program.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Something new.
Well, yes, but it's not. I'll just bet you, like I just said, is that if you hunt, you will find sauces that are made with fresh materials that are used as a condiment or an addition or something, and you don't have to cook it, and it would be a raw mixed up. And I bet you'll find that in any of these groups. I'll bet you will find one.
Yes, I'll let you know.
Okay,
you.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, thanks for the call. Other questions, comments, recipes, whatever are welcome. The man here is, man, we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, and that's our monthly program.
Whenever he's in residence.
Yeah, whenever he stops by. And the theme is tomatoes tonight. That's the featured ingredient. If Chairman Kaga was here, we'd unveil it. There'd be mist. But unfortunately, you know, it's just me. So, tomatoes, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. And I'm sure that if you were interested in salsa now, that you could go out and you could buy entire books
oh,
with
there are.
Nothing of but salsa recipes.
There are.
I know I've got, I think we've got at least one in our
house. I think Rick,
like
Rick Bayless has a salsa book, doesn't he?
He does. And that's, I was thinking about that. I think one of his books is all built around salsas that encourage you to experience and understand different kinds of chilies, because I think each one is based on a different chili.
Oh, yes.
And then he has basic recipes, and then, you know, so you can make all these various salsas, and then he has recipes for you then to go and, you know, do something with them.
Two Hot Tamales were very big in making different salsas, if you remember. Haven't seen them for so long.
Yeah, I guess they're still in the business. Maybe
they're
so busy. You know, they have their restaurant and they have a couple of books out. They have three restaurants. Well, they probably got enough stuff to do with their time rather than making television shows. Now, it's every time I turn on Emeril's on there, every time I turn it on, it's the Emeril Network now. Now, I like him. He's a fine guy. But, you know, I'd like to see something different. I'd like to see Mario Batali every once in a while. I believe
Emeril's going to have a television program. A kind of a soap opera where I just got a glimpse of this on the television about four nights ago. I said, I don't believe it, but it's kind of a soap opera sort of thing where he's involved with this. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Unless I heard it wrong, that's what I heard.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And, well, we'll just say we'll let that go there. We'll have another caller in Downs. Here, line number four. Hello.
Hi. Can I suggest something called tomato and ham stacks?
That sounds good.
And all you do is you line a plate with salad greens. If you've got arugula, use it, but that's iffy. And make a really simple vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
And then slice tomatoes about half an inch thick. Spread them with a thin goat cheese with whatever kind of herbs you want.
Goat cheese, yes.
You want mixed in, fresh chives, basil, thyme, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then put another tomato on top, then a piece of ham, and then another tomato.
Now for the ham, what do you use?
I like prosciutto, but you can really use
whatever. Ooh, that would be pretty tasty, wouldn't it?
Whatever appeals.
Yes.
Cut those in half and put each half on a slice of toasted sourdough bread and put two of them on the salad.
Ooh.
And I have dinner.
I guess you do. Yes, and that's got everything in it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to have really wonderful tomatoes, of course.
Yes.
It really depends on the tomato so much.
That's why I thought on this particular day, you could walk out and get a good tomato. Right. That's good.
Absolutely.
Well, I like that. That's very similar to to at least the idea and the taste began to sound very much like what I do. And I learned this from a friend a long time ago, and she learned it while she was in Spain, was to slice the tomatoes. You make a vinaigrette, vinegar, mustard, garlic, and with the garlic you put in a little bit of sugar, and then lots of tarragon. I mean, two tablespoons of tarragon, and then about two whole chopped up bunches of green onions. And so you've got this slurry of green onions and tarragon that's held together by oil and vinegar and the other taste. And you slice the tomatoes and lay them flat on a plate and then cover them with all of this green salsa. And then pile the tomatoes on top of that and more of this sauce and more tomato. So as you get about four or five stacks, and then let all of that chill for a while, and then you just take them off as you want them. It's really nice for a party because there are so many that you can serve in such a reasonable area. You know, a flat platter would hold about five tomatoes worth of this, and people would take off one, and there would always be sauce and stuff on top of that. But that's exactly a stack.
Yeah.
Sounds good. But goat cheese with herbs added to that sounds awfully good. Oh, boy.
Prosciutto.
Yes, and prosciutto.
And you could, you know, if you wanted to do it for that, you could just chop the prosciutto and just sprinkle it onto your
Yes, you could. So yes, you could. And you could pick up each.
It's easy to serve.
And it's easy to eat because then you don't have to cut through a whole
right.
lot of stuff.
Right.
But then if you're using – but that's just sort of a little side dish. What you've got, you're right. That's a whole lunch.
love it.
That's good. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go on here. We have someone in Urbana to talk with next. Line one. Hello.
Hello. I have a recipe for these wee cherry tomatoes.
Oh, yes.
Which grow prolifically in the summer here.
Yes.
Almost too much so. But it's tomatoes in basil cream or basil cream.
Cream. I don't know about making a cream sauce.
Well, it's very, very easy. You just get, it's for maybe a dish for two people for lunch. Get two small oven-proof dishes or a small ramekin dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And peel the cherry tomatoes in boiling water.
Peel them?
Yeah, just dip them in boiling water.
Yes.
And they'll shed their skin very easily. And then butter the dishes. Drop about six cherry tomatoes in each dish. Season with salt and pepper. Then snip some fresh basil from the garden over the tomatoes. And then I usually just spoon about three or four tablespoons of double cream you call whipping cream.
Whipping cream, yes.
Whipping cream over those two dishes, and you just pop them in the oven on a baking sheet for a hot oven for about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Mm-hmm.
They are delicious, and all you need with that is some crusty French bread, a baguette or some crusty bread like that, and you have the tomatoes, and you can dip the bread in the cream sauce.
Oh, the cream sauce sounds good with it. Now, I don't... Other than making tomato soup, I don't know the use of milk products with tomato. That sounds awfully good. In fact, it sounds like an exotic cream soup.
Well, it's something that I've made in England, but
yes.
it may originate in France. But it is so simple because it's tomatoes, cream, and basil. It takes about 10 minutes to prepare, 10 minutes in the oven. And it's so attractive to look at in the individual dishes that people I've served it to have just said, wow.
Now, about a 400 oven or 350?
I'd say 400.
400 at least. Okay,
yeah.
For 10 minutes in the oven. Mm-hmm. That's impressive. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
We are at our midpoint here already.
Oh, gosh.
With Doyle Moore, and this is our monthly show on cooking. We do it, generally speaking, every month on the first Wednesday at 10 o'clock and choose a theme. He chooses the theme, and then we talk about that, and we exchange cooking stories and tips and recipes.
Actually, the theme comes to me from above. I don't pick it. It picks me.
See, he always used to tease me about how that's where I wait for ideas for shows just to descend, like angels fly down with
them.
They
do.
On a big
I'm telling you,
sign.
That's exactly because I've called you 2 days before and said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
That's right. So it's inspiration. It's divinely inspired.
It is divinely inspired. Mm. It is of the moment.
And this time around, and it's perfectly appropriate because now we're really starting to be able to get them, we're talking about tomatoes. So if you have a good recipe for tomatoes.
We got some good ones this morning.
And we have some, and we'd be very happy to have others. All you have to do is call us and talk with us about it. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. And we also have the toll-free line that's good anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Now we have a caller in Champaign, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello there.
After all the talk about the salads, I'm sorry to bring up a problem of another type of a recipe.
That's all right.
All right. I received a recipe from my daughter for a biscotti that's a chocolate coffee.
Yes.
Biscotti. The recipe calls for use of coffee granulars and says to use either a quarter of a cup of espresso or a half a cup of regular coffee granulars and put in, and it says only one tablespoon of water to mix into this. When I tried the recipe, it just formed a big old gum, like a hard sucker type of material, and I got essentially nothing out of it.
I was wondering if there's a mistake in the either the measuring, because you said did you say a quarter of a cup?
A quarter of a cup of espresso, yes.
I see, that couldn't be a mistake and be a quarter of a teaspoon, because that'd be far too little for what you're making.
Yes. And it couldn't be.
Other one could be a mistake in how much water there was, because what this is, what this is the liquid part of your bread, and you need it to be liquid enough that you could put it in. So somewhere you have to balance that out. I would, a quarter of cup of crystals, that wouldn't be too much, because you make a cup of coffee with. What, 2 teaspoonsful?
Yeah.
Well, depending on how strong
you
like.
But I mean, if you're just a cup, 2 teaspoons. Well, 2 teaspoons is almost a tablespoon, and 4 tablespoons is a quarter of a cup. So you're putting in like 8 teaspoons or less of the granite. That wouldn't be too much for a large loaf of bread. I would stick then with the amount of crystals, and I would change the amount of water until you got something that dissolves it, and see what you come out with. It somehow that is just – that's not enough.
Okay.
So you don't think that it could be, though, that what they want is a quarter of a cup of strong coffee?
You mean a total being a quarter of a cup?
Yes. You know, like a quarter cup of espresso.
Yes. Well, you see, you'd need at least a quarter of a cup of water to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking, is that somehow you would end up with probably a quarter of a cup, or maybe a little bit more of a very strong coffee mix. And I think you're right.
Let me ask you a question. The problem here is that it needs to go in as the liquid.
Yes.
You cannot put the crystals in by themselves.
No.
Okay. That answers one of my concerns.
Well, now I'm going to back up on that, because I just had an experience in Wyoming last week of using dried buttermilk. And I put the dried buttermilk in with the dried materials, and then just added the regular water or milk as I was using. So no, you don't have to put the combination in as a liquid. You could put the dry part, but is there other liquid being used?
Yes, there is.
How much?
I don't remember. I don't have the recipe, but there's oil added to it.
Oil, and then some other, and then maybe a milk or egg.
Yes.
And, well, that would start oil and an egg.
Okay.
And maybe, I'm going to reverse that, because this experience I just had, because I made a mess when I was mixing up the buttermilk and the milk. And I asked my sister, why can't I put this in with the dry? She said, well, you should have. So you could put the dry crystals in with all of the flours and the other things that are used, and then add the liquid later.
Okay.
You might, and hold on, because our caller from Downs is calling back, and if it's the person I'm thinking of, I know she's very experienced in the kitchen. Maybe she has some suggestion to weigh in with.
All right.
So, well, thanks for the call. Maybe
sure,
we'll help you out here. We'll go back here to Downs on our line number 4. You have something to suggest on this biscotti deal? Okay.
I make biscotti, and I make one that is a chocolate coffee, and I simply put in instant coffee powder.
Yes.
And there is no, other than eggs, there is no other liquid in my recipe.
Oh.
And so it just isn't necessary to have the liquid. And I would say to him, if you've got crystals, you might want to pulverize them somehow, so that they're pretty powdery, so that they will mix up. But I've never had any problem at all.
But you put the crystals in dry.
I put them in dry.
And then you just go ahead and add.
Dry.
I think that's... Sounds to me.
With biscotti, you don't want it to be too wet.
No, it isn't.
Because you have to form it into these, you know, these little loaves.
Yes.
The free-form loaves. And so my problem is having it too wet. And then it's a mess, and I'm, you know, trying to beat these things into submission into some sort of shape that I'm going to be able to deal with later. But I think he should just forget, as you did with your buttermilk.
Yes.
Just forget mixing it with liquid at all.
Yes.
And if he wants the additional liquid, just add it to the batter.
As you're adding the other wet ingredients.
And I wouldn't want to second guess his recipe, and that liquid may be very necessary. But just add it when you're adding whatever other liquids you're adding.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Good luck.
You know, we appreciate that. Okay, we'll just keep on going here, and back to Urbana for another caller here, line number 1. Hello.
Hi, Mr. Moore. My name is
yes.
Cara, and I'm calling to give you my favorite recipe that I learned last year.
Oh, yes. All right.
It's an hors d'oeuvre with tomato chutney and a strawberry.
Tomato chutney and a strawberry?
You just hull out the strawberry.
Yes.
And you stuff it with tomato chutney, and you put a little raspberry on top with a piece of mint. And I always
wow.
to people, they look at me like I'm crazy, and then they always eat all of them.
No, that wouldn't be crazy. And I'll tell you what you're very close to is the fact that we've just learned how to put balsamic vinegar on fruit.
Right.
And the Italians have been doing that for a while.
And the Italians have been doing it for so long, and it wasn't until somebody went over there and discovered balsamic vinegar and how good it is. And, gee, what was – in fact, I think Mario had a big program.
Monday night.
Was it? On, mm-hmm. And he was putting it on everything. I didn't see it, but I saw the ad for it. And I very carefully tried to put it on strawberries once, and you're right. That chutney taste, which is really what the balsamic vinegar reminds you of, because it's sour and sweet and rich, and that sounds like – well, that's a good idea.
It's wonderful. I love it.
Now, I have a silly question. How do you scoop out a strawberry?
Well, you know, I use the triangular part of a church key.
Oh!
And I just – so that you get most of it out. And then if you want to put in more chutney,
yes?
You maybe use your knife to get it.
And then, well, and then of course – and then you're using the other cap. You could put the chutney and have a little gap in there and fill it with more, yes.
Right.
Now, do you make your own chutney?
Of course.
Oh, the tomato chutney. That's what you said, wasn't it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to cut off – the way you serve them is you cut off the bottom of the strawberry, but not so that
– oh, so it sits flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that right before, but everything else you can – you can do the chutney days ahead.
Oh, sure.
So.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Of course.
That's good.
Thank you. I'm enjoying listening.
Great. Yeah. Well, thanks for the call. See, that's what's so cool about this show. You just people call in and tell you about all these things that you hadn't thought of or hadn't
experienced. Well, these are all new to me, and they're rather exciting. I knew that there were things that were going on other than slicing tomatoes only.
Now, me,
however,
you know,
I don't belittle that because that's childhood.
And
Mother
if you
never
get something,
did a thing, just there they are.
If you can get really good tomato, you know, like I still think of the first tomatoes I ever grew.
Uh-huh.
My wife is so tired of hearing about this. But and actually it was I don't know, maybe about 10, 12 years ago.
As
the first
I remember
time I ever,
it was.
Ever raised them.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the first time I went out there and I picked the first one off the plant and I brought it inside, it was still warm from being outside.
Still
I
warm
sliced
from the sun.
It was like a religious experience.
Yes, yes.
And I have never had a tomato that good ever since.
I bet you can even – I bet since we're involving with memory, I bet you can recall that smell. The smell because it's part of having brushed the leaves and such things, and mm-hmm. the smell of that tomato is absolutely I'm surprised you even got it into the house.
Well, I and previously I guess I would have said I was not a huge tomato fan.
Uh-huh,
I mean, I would
uh-huh.
have had tomato sauce and had it on pizza and had it on pasta and stuff. But well, the thing that I remember about it was the color. It was like a ruby. It was so red, and the quality of the flesh was just there. It was, you know, sometimes tomatoes can be kind of mealy and kind of, you know,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm,
nothing,
mm-hmm,
but the color was beautiful, the texture was beautiful, the flavor was really intense, and all one needed to do would either be just to have it like that or something, pair it, you know, put a little extra virgin olive oil on it, or maybe just crumble just a little bit of feta or some good Reggiano cheese, and that's all you needed to do.
Well,
and I haven't had one like that since.
I say you're lucky. You're lucky
to be able to
catalog that experience. You're very lucky because think of the people who just go out and munch on something and say, "Well, that's done. Thank you very much," and don't worry about eating or the pleasures of the eating. Good for you.
We have other callers. Next is Champagne, and it's line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Two things. One of which is that I was listening to you in the car a minute ago, and I heard this fellow calling in about the coffee granule
yes.
needed for the biscotti. I suspect that what he's doing is using tap water to try to reconstitute that, and I suspect that if he were to use boiling water the way coffee granules are intended to be used, he probably wouldn't have any problems with it. And he'd
That's interesting. That's an interesting thought, too. Yes, because they would completely dissolve quickly in boiling water, wouldn't they?
Right, and I think the liquid would probably work out okay. The second thing occurred to me in regard to tomatoes is a salad that I've been eating for about the last year because I've copied one that a local restaurant makes.
Yes.
And I just take chunks of tomato. Usually I use Roma or something, but you could also use slices and then cut them into manageable pieces. And then you chop up fresh mozzarella on top of that. And also slices, sort of bite-sized pieces of onion rings, not little pieces, but, you know, sort of chunks of rings. And then you cover it with balsamic-type vinaigrette.
Oh, yes.
And I use the restaurant's prepared stuff because I think it's just perfect in that salad. And you serve it with a rosemary onion focaccia, and it's just absolutely fabulous. I mean, I could eat I could eat huge amounts at a time. And it's perfect for this time of year, and I think the fresh mozzarella really is a lovely kind of taste. It's a little bit hard sometimes to find it, but it's worth it.
The buffalo?
Yes. I think some people call it fresh mozzarella.
Yes.
Some people call it buffalo mozzarella.
Yes.
And I also tend to use that when recipes call for goat cheese. I don't like goat cheese, and so I substitute often the fresh mozzarella.
Ooh, that sounds like a good treat.
Yes.
Tomatoes, mozzarella, onion rings, balsamic vinaigrette, and onion focaccia.
Exactly.
That's great.
It's just like candy. It's so good. But I think in regard to the previous caller, I think
yes.
The problem may be with the boiling water as opposed to using...
I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought about the fact of the water boiling or not. I didn't assume what he had done.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good assumption.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Very
Bye-bye.
Good. Thank you. Let's go to Urbana next, line one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I just wanted to call and ask the woman who gave you the strawberries with
yes.
tomato chutney if she would give us her recipe for tomato chutney.
Well.
So I hope she's listening.
If she's listening
back.
And we do have time, if she'll call back with the tomato chutney recipe,
yeah.
we'll listen to it. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
Bye.
Very good. Well, in the meantime, let's go to another Urbana person. This is line three. Hello.
Oh, hi. That first recipe you gave.
Yes.
How do you spell the name of that dish?
Panzanella,
was it? Or?
No. Panzanella. P-A-N.
Oh, boy.
Z-A-N. E-L-L-A.
P-A-N-Z?
Z.
Uh-huh.
A-N. E-L-L-A. Panzanella.
Right. Okay. Now, did you say how much tomato?
No, I didn't. I didn't give amounts. I didn't give amounts, but probably, let's see. I have it right here in front of me. Let's see. One medium firm tomato cut in half-inch chunks.
Uh-huh.
You know, my problem is I'm always saying, oh, okay, so you put some tomato in, and I put in more than it is, and I certainly would use more than a half
with
a cucumber.
With one tablespoon of salt, that does seem
Let's see, of the salt, no, it's a half a teaspoon.
Oh, dear.
A half a teaspoon of salt. I will give it again and carefully read the amounts. Here is the sauce.
Okay.
A half a clove of garlic peeled and chopped, and four anchovy fillets. Then one tablespoon of capers.
Uh-huh.
That's where you got it because
the
next one was a half a teaspoon of salt.
Uh-huh.
Five tablespoons of olive oil.
Uh-huh.
And one tablespoon of red wine vinegar. And that makes up the sauce. You mash all that together. You sort of mash up the capers and then the anchovies dissolve in all of that.
Uh-huh.
Then you have... It says only 1/4 of a pepper, but I would use a whole one anyway. 1/4 of a pepper. Half a recipe for fried bread squares, so that wasn't a whole lot. Pepper. Then a half a cucumber and one tomato. So you see, that's not a large quantity of stuff. That's a half a cucumber, a fourth of an onion. I mean, a fourth of a pepper, and then one medium, not a large, one medium tomato, and a half of a Bermuda onion, thinly sliced. By the way, David, thinly sliced.
Get out your mandolin.
That's it. That's it. Oh, yes, that would work, wouldn't it? I use Ben Reiner, but that's
hard. I have one of those, too. I've been using it a lot this summer to make coleslaw.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
So that's the mixture.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Other comments, questions, recipes, whatever, are certainly welcome. We have about 10 minutes. Well, actually, not even that much. Maybe 7-8 minutes with Doyle Moore. And this is our monthly show on cooking. We do it the first Wednesday of the month. We've been talking about different things you can do with tomatoes since it's the season for that. And if you have a recipe to share with us, that would be great. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455.
Have you ever fried a ripe tomato as opposed to the fried green tomato?
The green tomato. No, I have not.
Well, it can be done. What you have to do is dip it first in flour, and then in egg wash, and then in breadcrumbs. So you're getting a good crust on it, so that all the juice would stay inside that. And then it is simply heated highly. And when it's hot, just put those tomatoes in and cook them on both sides. And of course, you know what that comes out to be? It's very, very close to a Provençal baked tomato where you sprinkle breadcrumbs and olive oil on tomatoes and pop them into the oven.
I would be afraid that it would just fall apart. You'd
no,
end up with tomato sauce with breadcrumbs in it.
No, but you mean the fried ones?
Yes, the fried ones.
No, it's because you put them in flour and then in egg and then in breadcrumbs. So you've got
so see, it's insulated.
Egg, yeah, the egg is going to cook rather quickly. The breadcrumbs are going to hold together, and the flour allows all that other stuff to stick to them.
Another caller in Mattoon, line number one. Hello.
Hi. Oh, boy, what a wonderful program with all the different exciting recipes.
Don't they sound good?
Yes, make me hungry.
Me too.
Say, do you have an unusual or a very good recipe for zucchinis? They are coming by this here, around here in the gardens. Those zucchinis, they are growing like crazy.
Well, now there are several. You can fry them with vinegar. You can fry them in a flour and water batter, just like I had mentioned, to fry them.
But I thought maybe something.
And then a fried zucchini with vinegar, that is a good taste. And then you could with some garlic and tomato and sliced zucchini together with that. Now, I'll tell you, however, what I like to do with zucchini is that I like to cook it with rosemary and cream. And
But you would peel and
slice. No, I wouldn't peel. Just slice. Slice the little zucchinis, but get them small as you can. Slice them and start browning them in a skillet. And when they just start to get brown, put in lots of rosemary, a lot of rosemary. And then when that is sort of brown enough, not done, but just sort of browned on the edges, then put in a container of cream, of whipping cream. If you don't want to use whipping cream, I'll tell you another substitute is very, very good, and that is the fat-free half and half. That's a very, very good use for this. And then cook it down and cook it down and cook it down, and then the cream will turn just a little nut brown. It'll just brown a tiny bit, the cream.
The tomato wouldn't...
No, not tomato, the zucchini.
Yeah, but you said garlic and tomato.
Oh, no, that was another recipe. That was another one. No. No, this is the one where I use just the zucchini and a lot of rosemary, dried or fresh.
Yeah.
Almost a tablespoon and a half of dried, and more than that if it's fresh. Then you cook that down, and at the very last 2 minutes, you put in green grapes. drop in green grapes and let them just simply warm up so that they're still sort of crunchy. You don't cook them until they, but the green seedless grapes. Oh, and so just think about that cream and rosemary, and then all of a sudden a sweet green grape crushed in there, and then the delicious taste of zucchini. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Sounds very good.
It is good. It's delicious.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you. We have time. Maybe if someone wants to call real quick, we can get in one more. Maybe two, 333-WILL,
yes.
Toll-free 800-222-WILL. Any other sort of tomato thing that pops into your mind and say, okay, we could come up with a really good tomato for you, what would you, other than what we've already done, what would you do? And other than just, you know, slicing it and eating it. If we could, if it was one of those tomatoes like I grew.
Yes. First, I would run to the farthest corner of my house and not tell anybody I had it, and I'd eat it. And then smile when I turned around.
Then you'd come back in the room and we'd say, what are you smiling about?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we'll have another caller here.
Yes.
In Champaign. Line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
This isn't tomatoes, but you were talking about zucchini.
Yes.
And quite often when you have them in the garden, they grow bigger than you really want.
Yes, they do.
And it's really a good idea to core them out, cut them in half.
Cut them in half, yes.
And stuff them with rice.
Oh, all right. Rice, yes.
Hamburger or ground beef and whatever seasonings you usually put with things like that. And then you bake
them. And you bake them. That's when they're big.
That's when they're big.
Yep.
When you can core them out.
Yep.
And you can do that. You clean out some tomatoes and use the same sort of a mixture to put in the tomatoes, and it also works with green peppers.
That sounds very good. The only problem is, if you've waited that long, you can only eat one of those every once in a while. You can't eat them every day.
Oh, well, you do this when you've got three or four people and you can make one.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. And then while you're doing that, they're out in the garden growing bigger all the time.
That's right. But it's really very tasty.
Those are called zucchini boats, as I recall, and that is good. And you could, if you didn't want to use hamburgers and such things, you could sort of make a kind of a dressing with some breadcrumbs and some vegetables and vegetable broth, and make just a regular dressing, and that would be savory enough to complement that. Yes,
my recipe is called Mother Arieff's stuffed vegetables.
Stuffed vegetables. Yes,
and it comes from a girl who worked for me who was married to a Greek by way of Egypt and France.
Oh yes, stuffed vegetables, dolmas. Yes. That's good. Well, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Well, we're going to have to stop. I'm sorry to say we have a caller we can't take, but we are at the end of the time. I think now, though, next month, Doyle will be back.
What month I will indeed.
That would be September.
That will be September. Try to remember that day in September.
All right. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. We do this show on cooking with him the first Wednesday of the month in the 10 o'clock hour.